In the midst of you, there has stood one whom you do not know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's always very nice, at least I think so, to go to a chapel, or to any place really, where the people are quite fervent, living, trying to lead a good Christian life. And when I say Christian, of course, I mean Catholic. And I'm sure that's something you've all noticed as well. You go to a nice chapel where the people are leading that life well, or you visit a relative or a friend's home, and the people seem to be following the commandments of God. And you experience a sort of peace. It's an internal peace, which you can feel, or rather sometimes you don't even feel it, but there is still a sense of peace. You know, you go into a place and you don't have to worry about what's going to fly out of somebody's unguarded lips, or what sort of things you're going to see, immodesty or bad television. You don't have to worry about any of that. When you go somewhere where the people are fervent and trying to lead good Christian lives, and the reason you feel that peace, that you experience that, is essentially because you can easily see Christ in the fervent Catholic. For the fervent Catholic strives always to be in all things the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and he tries to imitate Christ's virtues, and thus he makes Christ visible to others. That is what the fervent Christian does. So it is quite easy, relatively speaking anyway, to recognize Christ in a fervent Catholic in good standing. For instance, when you see a good pastor, a good priest or bishop, you can easily see the image of Christ in him. Or if you see a nun who is striving for the highest degree of perfection, you can see Christ in her. Or in the simple lay person in the pew who strives to follow the commandments of God and to be as charitable as possible to his neighbor, you see the image of Christ in that man's soul. But there are times, and I believe this is more often than not, when we fail to recognize our Lord in this life. Those words that I just read to you from the Gospel can be applied to us. In the midst of you, there has stood one whom you do not know. A poor beggar one time, many years ago, I think it was perhaps close to 400 or 500 years ago, showed up on the doorstep of a certain Jesuit monastery in France. He was in ragged clothes, quite dirty, and his hands were all mangled and crippled. And he came to the porter, that is the gatekeeper of this monastery, and he asked to see the superior of that monastery, Superior Jesuit. And the gatekeeper snapped back, "Well, you can't speak to him right now because he's getting ready to say Mass." And the poor man just looked at him and humbly said, "Please tell him that a poor man from Canada wishes to speak to him." So the porter did just that. He went up to the superior, who was at the time vesting for Mass, and he said, "Father, there is a poor man from Canada who wishes to speak with you." No sooner had the superior heard those words than he threw off his vestment and went out to meet this man. And his first question to him was, "You say you're from Canada. Do you know Father Job, Father Isaac Job?" And the man responded, "Yes, I know him quite well indeed." And the superior said, "Well, the Indians, we had news that the Indians had captured him. Is he dead?" The man looked at him and said, "No, he is alive and free." And at that very moment, the poor man fell to the ground in fatigue, and with what little energy he had left, he said, "Hi, Father, and Father Joe." So 6 years before that incident, Father Job, Father Isaac Job, now Saint Isaac Job, left that very same gate of that Jesuit house. He knew all the people that were there, the superior, the gatekeeper, all of the people that were there. And yet 6 years later, In this event, not a single one of them recognized him. There stood one in the midst of them whom they did not recognize. My dear faithful, Christ is with us every single day. Every single day he is here, but he is not recognized. But that isn't because he doesn't reveal himself. It is perhaps only because our faith is not strong enough to see him. It is because our supernatural eyes, the eyes of the faith, through which we must look so often in life, they're closed. They fail to see Christ. They fail to catch even a glimpse of Christ who lives, who eats, who drinks, and who suffers with us every single day of our life. We fail to see that. He is here each moment, each hour, each day, yet we fail to see him. You won't see him with your bodily eyes, that's for sure. You must have the eyes of supernatural faith. So the question is then, where is Christ? Of course, he's on the altar. That goes without saying. I don't even need to say that. He can be seen in the faithful Catholic, the faithful Catholic trying to lead a good Christian life. But again, I said that already. Where else can he be seen? Open your spiritual eyes and you will find him. He's in the poor man. He's in the poor man. You all know the story of St. Martin. There was a very cold winter that year in the life of St. Martin, perhaps one of the coldest during his whole life. And he was a soldier, and he was on horseback with his company of soldiers. They were all going through the town. They were lined up along the road. There were many different poor men, beggars, and they had asked these soldiers to help them out. And St. Martin gave away food, he gave away money, he gave away clothing. And then he came to the last gate, and there was one poor beggar. And he asked all of the soldiers in front of St. Martin for some sort of help, for some sort of alms. And all of those soldiers passed him by. They just went right on by him without giving it a second thought. And St. Martin saw that and had compassion on him. But he realized, I don't have any money, I don't have any more food, I don't have anything to give this poor man, because I've given it already to all the other beggars along the way. But seeing this man without clothes, without a shirt, and freezing in that cold weather, he cut off half of his cloak and gave it to this poor man. And you know the rest of the story. Our Lord appeared to him that night and said that that poor man indeed was Christ himself. So Christ is in the poor man. We should remember that as Catholics, we should never despise the poor. Filthy as they may be, perhaps they even smell bad, they're uneducated, unwise, but you must not despise them. You must look at them, not with your bodily eyes, but with your spiritual eyes, and you must see Christ in that man. Christ is also present, and this might be a little easier to see, in the little child. The child is the picture of innocence. He is the picture of simplicity. He has no defilement in his soul. He is perfectly pure. That is the image of Christ, who is innocence itself. Christ is in the man who suffers. When you see a man tempted, don't despise him. How about praying for him? How about encouraging him? Christ is in that man. Or if you see a man discouraged and almost in despair, encourage him. Again, pray for him. Give him confidence. If you see a sick man, don't despise him. Don't think only of yourself, your own pleasures. Think of the sick man. Think that Christ dwells in him. And treat him as you would Christ. But above all, we should remember that Christ, and this one is the most difficult one to remember, Christ is present in the sinner. Christ is present in your greatest enemy. And that is where we must have especially the eyes of supernatural faith. But how is Christ in the sinner? Obviously, by mortal sin, we expel Christ, we expel him from our soul. So how is he present there? He's present in the heart of a sinner as a prisoner is in his jail cell. That's all he is. Christ is a prisoner there. And we must seek to release him. He is crucified every time that somebody commits a mortal sin. He is crucified anew. You can imagine, if you've seen the movie The Passion of Christ, picture to yourself those nails being driven deep into his hands. Those sacred hands which have been raised so often to bless you, to give you grace after grace, and sacrament after sacrament at the hands of the priest. Those hands you pierce each time you commit a mortal sin. But Christ nevertheless is present in the sinner. We must release him by praying for the sinner, by sacrificing for the sinner. Perhaps offer up a mass here or a rosary there. Offer up some little suffering that you're having to go through at the time, or the litany to the Sacred Heart. But there is always a number of sacrifices you can do for sinners, and they should never be neglected. There's also fraternal charity and many other such things as that. Good example is another way of converting the sinner and releasing Christ from his prison. So my dear Catholics, I wish to give you just this thought as a conclusion of this sermon. Do not let it ever be said of you, especially on Judgment Day, that in the midst of you there hath stood one who you do not know. Christ is with us every day. He is here, he is everywhere. At every moment, he's in the Blessed Sacrament. You see him when you see a good and holy priest, or a good and fervent Catholic. You see him in the poor man, the tempted man, the discouraged man, the sick man, the one who is dying on his deathbed. You see him in your friends. You see him in your enemies. You see him in the least of sinners, and you see him in the worst of sinners. He is here. He is everywhere. Open your spiritual eye. Close your bodily eye and look for our Lord. And remember these two things as a bit of advice. First of all, everything that I've said in this gospel, this sermon today, is expressed by Christ in one of the gospels when he speaks to the men who are saved. He says, "You can go to heaven now, for I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you covered me, sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Amen, I say to you, as long as you did it to one of these, my least brethren, you did it to me." And the second thing that I wish you to at least meditate upon a little bit today is this, that we only love God as much as we love our neighbor. The gauge for how much we love God is how much we love our neighbor, how we treat him. And if you don't, and St. Paul sums it up so well when he says, if you do not love your neighbor whom you see, how can you love God whom you do not see? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.